Hello, and welcome back to my basement for another roundup of all the top stories from this week. And what a bumper week it's been for news, as well as trying to pick the bones out of the bucket of bile that Dominic Cummings vomited up. I'll be discussing the report by Lord Gite, who's been looking into the funding of my flat. Oh, and I may just mention the fact that I only went and got myself married. So, let's get started. We may as well get the unpleasant bit out of the way first. This time last week, a joint select committee was hearing evidence from Dominic Cummings, the world's only Gollum tribute act.
I think we are absolutely fucked. I think this country's heading for a disaster. I think we're going to kill thousands of people.
He spent 7 hours trying to convince everyone that he was telling the truth and being contrite for the first time in his life. We saw a completely different Cummings to the one who sat in the Rose Garden and arrogantly lied his head off about his trip to Dora. The smug git we saw then was the real Dom. But that Dom hadn't gone down too well, so this time we saw him do something he's never done before in his life, apologise. Except that it wasn't really an apology, of course. Not only did he not mean it, he was only apologising for the fact that other people were too stupid to listen to his words of wisdom. I basically apologise for not trying harder to persuade all the stupid people to follow his brilliant advice. But full marks to him for realising that dropping the apology bomb first would make everyone more amenable to the rest of what he had to say. The intention, of course, was to make people forget that he was the one who made up the main lies of the Brexit campaign, the ones about giving £350 million a week to the NHS, and the scare story that the whole of Turkey was about to move to the UK. And to an extent, he succeeded, because for many people, what he said was quite convincing. Not because anyone thought that this was anything other than one narcissistic liar taking revenge on other narcissistic liars, but because what he said sounded all too familiar and believable. This was all stuff that people already knew, and in a way, that was also the problem. All the things he said were things that lots of people were asking about when Cummings was still in the job, and they were all things that Cummings himself flatly denied when he was in the job. So he confirmed from the inside what people on the outside had long suspected, and doing so made him sound believable, but also proved he was a liar. So, what did he actually say? Well, not surprisingly, his main intention seemed to be to discredit yours truly as being unfit to be Prime Minister. But this cloud that threatened to rain diarrhea had a huge silver lining, and that was that Dom saved his most damning criticism for Matt Hancock. 1 year ago, Matt Hancock bravely stepped up to defend Dom when he decided to spread his germs around Durham and test his eyesight by driving to Barnard Castle. But this was how Dom repaid this support.
I think that the Secretary of State for Health should have been fired for at least 15, 20 things, including lying to everybody in multiple occasions, in meeting after meeting, in the Cabinet room and publicly.
Now, to be fair to Matt, this isn't actually true. It isn't accurate to say that Matt should have been fired for 15 or 20 things. I was much more like 40 or 50. But the fact is that I have to save Matt Hancock for when my need for a sacrificial scapegoat is the greatest. And the last thing I do is sack him now. Because I wouldn't want to give Dom the satisfaction. When I do throw Matt under the bus, I need to be sure it's the biggest bus that's going to come down the road. The main charge against Hancock is that he promised that everyone would be tested before being moved from hospitals into care homes. He then allowed 25,000 people to go into care homes untested, leading to thousands of deaths. Hancock did the daily briefing just after Cummings spoke and responded to this question by saying that he had only committed to testing people when the capacity was available. No doubt Matt will be rehearsing his lies and excuses before he has time to face the Select Committee in 2 weeks' time. I don't expect that hearing to be quite as much fun, because watching a politician lie and avoid questions is something we see several times every day. Not half as interesting as watching someone who normally lies for a living being forced to tell a version of the truth, but I'm sure we'll all be getting the popcorn in anyway. Distasteful, there it is. I can no longer put off looking at the specifics of what Dom said about myself and my leadership during the pandemic. In summary, he said everyone was lying, nobody had a plan, we made promises we knew we couldn't keep, and that I didn't care who died as long as I looked good in the media. Well, I'm sorry, but I fail to see what that has to do with the COVID pandemic, and that just describes a normal day in my office. That's not a revelation, that's just a summary of my approach to absolutely everything. And as for the accusation that I didn't have a plan, Dom said there was no plan for financial incentive, no plan for isolation, no plan to bury the bodies, nothing. Excuse me, but I did have a plan. In fact, I had two plans. The first one was herd immunity, which I really liked because it was nice and simple. Basically, just do sod all and let people die. And when we realised that probably wasn't going to be acceptable, we moved on to plan B, which is still do sod all, but put all our energy and resources into using the media to pretend we were doing everything we could and that it wasn't our fault. I'm sorry if people don't like this sort of plan, but I find it has served me perfectly well in other times of my life. When I was at Eton, I was given the leading part in the school play. I didn't bother learning any of my lines and just made it up for laughs as I went along. Yes, it ruined the play for everyone in it and everyone watching, but I had a great time and I avoided doing any work. So, I fail to see why the same approach shouldn't work just as well for dealing with a deadly international pandemic. Another accusation by Dom was that I didn't take the pandemic seriously. I was very disappointed to hear him claim I referred to COVID as Kung Flu. Yes, I did call it that informally, but in meetings I insisted everyone would refer to it as Hong Kong Flu-y. Whilst I did suggest that Chris Whitty could inject me with the virus live on TV, I was merely responding to the latest scientific advice. Renowned expert and all-round fountain of knowledge, Donald Trump, had just said that it was only a flu, so I thought it should be safe enough. Anyway, if it did turn out to be dangerous, I could always inject myself with bleach on live TV to cure it. He also said I liked chaos and that the whole situation was like something from an out-of-control disaster movie. I really think that's an unfair comparison. Honestly, I can't think of a movie that bears any similarity to how I run the government. No, definitely not. I'd say it was much more like an episode of Some Mothers Do Have Them. And now we come to the part of the show where we tell you about the wonderful ways you can support us via Patreon. For as little as £3 a month, you can really make a difference and help to make this podcast possible. There's also the option to contribute a little bit more and get a range of benefits such as bonus episodes, shout-outs, early access to shows, special events, and even merchandise. And if you're really generous, you can become one of our flag shaggers on Patreon like John Platt. So let's hear it for John. You can find the link to Patreon in the description of this podcast or in my Twitter bio, or you can simply Google parody Boris Johnson Patreon, and that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Thanks for your support. Right, back to the monster that is Dominic Cummings. So then Dom started to talk about border control.
Fundamentally, there was no proper border policy because the Prime Minister never wanted a proper border policy. Repeatedly, in meeting after meeting, I and others said, all we have to do is download the Singapore or Taiwan documents in English and impose them here.
I isn't simply true to say that there was no border policy. I had a very clear border policy, which was to let anyone in who wanted to come, even from areas identified as COVID hotspots. Sometimes it seems as though I was the only one who recognised that this was a huge opportunity for global Britain, while other cowardly countries were all locked down. Brexit Britain could step forward and say, we are open for business. By keeping our economy going through this period, I knew we could achieve growth and far better results than any of our competitors. For example, we achieved exponential growth in at least one area and were ranked top in Europe in another important sector. I think the exponential growth was in COVID infections, and the top rank in Europe was for deaths per million people. So in your face, EU! People are saying I must be really worried because Cummings knows where all the bodies are buried, but I say we all know where all the bodies are buried. There are 130,000 of them all over the country, so I'm not really worried about that. But it is important to learn from our mistakes, and the biggest mistake here was obviously for me to take a serial liar into the heart of government in the first place. I should have realised that one was quite enough. Luckily for me, most Tory MPs hate Cummings as much as anyone, so he won't find any friends there. Other Michael Gove, of course, who was suspiciously absent from Dom's hit list. In fact, Govey has been suspiciously quiet for quite some time now, which is never a good sign. I get a twinge out between my shoulder blades just thinking about it. But I'm not unduly concerned with the latest poll show, a bit of a drop, but still confirmed that enough of the great unwashed don't give a toss what they hear about me, as long as I occasionally wear a hard hat, look straight down the camera lens and smother them with reassuring bullshit in a rich, plummy voice. What? Let's just say that the vaccine has done more for me than anyone else, inoculating me against any form of criticism. So let's move on to happier news now, and as you know, we sent out Save the Date cards last week, but I foolishly forgot to mention that it was the date for our divorce. Yes, I surprised everyone by getting married in secret last Saturday. It surprised Carrie too, but I convinced her that there is nothing more romantic than timing your wedding to distract attention from the ravings of a former employee. It was a small affair in accordance with COVID rules, so I was only allowed to shag one of the bridesmaids. We had a Catholic ceremony in Westminster Cathedral. I had to go to confession for the ceremony, which was tricky to fit in, but eventually the priest and I managed to find 3 days that we could both do, and in the end that was only enough time to get about halfway through, so I promised to do the rest later. The ceremony itself went very smoothly, apart from one unpleasant incident where Laura Koonsberg had to be dragged out screaming, "It should have been me! It should have been me!" Now we come to a special award to mark outstanding service to the Tory party and my government. I have here a tin of whitewash, which is the prize for my grovelling ass kisser of the week award, which this week has been won by Lord Geith. Yes, a big thank you to Lord Geith for his report into the falling of my flat. He reached the very astute conclusion that I didn't know who paid for my flat and was completely unaware that Lord Brownlow settled a bill for £58,000. And indeed, who among us hasn't watched £200,000 being spent on their flat and not bothered to ask where the money was coming from? He did say I was perhaps unwise not to keep more of an eye on these things, but that is about as serious as it got. So I was very relieved that my new ethics advisor decided to do the right thing and brush it all under the new Persian carpet, rather than find that I'd broken the ministerial code and then have to resign. Although he did find that Matt Hancock broke ministerial code when he inadvertently gave a massive NHS contract to a company owned by his sister, and which he has shares in. But as we now know, the standard punishment in my government for breaking ministerial code is bugger all. But the highlight of last week has to be the day I met Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán. And yes, I am aware that the last week includes my wedding day, but unlike getting married, this was something really special. It was a great honour to meet someone who shared so many of my core values, and he was already succeeding in creating the sort of state that I aspire to. We chatted for hours, and I got some great tips. How to oppress the minorities, demonise immigrants, restrict free press, and generally create a backward-looking populist authoritarian state. And best of all, he congratulated me on the progress I had already made towards achieving this. High praise indeed. So, there you are. That was my action-packed week, and I hope yours was equally exciting. Before I go, I'd like to give a shout-out to our fantastic millionaire cronies on Patreon. So, let's hear it for Jonathan Williams, Simon Roberts, Alistair McReith, Banj Jackson, Louisa Dora, and Milton Yates. If you're listening on Apple, it would help us enormously if you could take a moment to rate this podcast and write a brief review. You can catch up on past episodes of the podcast and, of course, all previous episodes of Plebs PMQs wherever you're listening to this. And as I'm sure you know by now, the best way to make sure you never miss an episode is to subscribe to the podcast. The next session of Plebs PMQs will be out on Monday. Say thanks to everyone who sent in their questions for that. Until next time, goodbye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.